Hello, this is Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan on WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. On Friday night, a program called the Illustrated Flute Project will be given a live performance at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Multimedia Room. And my guest here today to talk about it is Martha Council-Varkas, one of my favorite guests. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
So we gave audiences a hint about this live concert a couple months ago when we talked about the release of your latest recording, Fantasia, which is unusual in that it's completely naked flute, just flute solo pieces, a really intriguing array of sounds, regardless of the fact that it's just the flute. You know, you find a lot of ways to go through an entire album and make the flute the centerpiece, but also the music bringing out different things in the flute. However, when you went to put together our solo recital to celebrate this, you thought, I kind of want something even more for the audience.
It's true, Kara. I definitely, when I was recording the CD, found that the challenge was to bring out the variety of qualities and colors that the flute is, you know, so well known for making, right? So that was my challenge in the recording studio, and most certainly anytime I perform, I want to make sure that I'm representing the broad spectrum of colors of the instrument. But I did want to take my playing and my performing a step further. There were a lot of different factors that sort of opened up some new doors for me recently. And when I was planning the release of a solo CD, I just kind of got bored with the idea of an hour of just solo flute, as much as I adore the flute and performing. So I got these crazy visions in my head. Like, I think all artists sometimes have these wonderful moments where we almost can't even keep up with the ideas. It was a real flood of creativity. And so I feel really lucky that I, you know, hopefully have been able to illustrate some of these pieces.
And how did you go about doing that? Who did you think to invite to include in this solo flute recital?
Well, one of the things that happened, frankly, I had a dream about the piece Ballade by Frank Martin. And in the dream, I was performing on the recital hall stage in front of my students and colleagues. And in the dream, I just felt like kind of getting into it. And I started moving in the dream, and I started dancing in the dream. And I, you know, when I woke up, I thought, yeah, that'll never happen, you know. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, how cool would it be to involve dance and combine dance and playing? So I happened to be on a trip with my dear, dear friend and colleague, Whitney Moncrief, who is a choreographer and teaches dance at Western. And somehow I got up the courage to mention this idea. You know, I've always had this dream to play and dance, and even, you know, I had this idea that I could maybe even be lifted up or fly when I'm playing, like crazy stuff, I know. And I honestly was expecting her to just sort of nod politely and, you know, walk slowly away. But she really encouraged me to pursue it. So it's been a absolute pleasure and honor collaborating with her.
You are going to be a dancer and a flutist in this concert?
Flute dancer,
a flute, Kara. Dancer.
I don't, you know what? I don't have the answers about why or how, but it is happening. And Whitney runs the Western Dance Project. And so she has these amazing, beautiful, talented young dancers, and she has choreographed and coordinated two of the pieces, the second half of the program, that are with Dancer. Mm-hmm.
How fortunate it is that you knew someone with this level of knowledge about dance and how to make you look good and make a piece of art out of it, because as we know, music is a discipline, dance is a discipline, and the people who are dancing for a living give everything to it. You know,
and
you don't want to.
It has been so inspiring. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To watch these students, it's incredible. They rehearse starting, you know, 7, 8 in the morning, and then we had rehearsals until 9, 10 at night. They do their classes and other rehearsals in between. You know, it's absolutely inspiring. It, as if I didn't have enough inspiration already, and then I got to work with these students. And then the first half is actually more of just a visual illustration. Richard Johnson, my colleague in the music and technology department, created video animation that reacts with my sound. So depending on how loud I play or how fast I play, that image that's projected sometimes onto me and sometimes onto a screen behind me will move and adjust and morph into other things. It's hard to explain, but it's quite, I have to say, I'm so impressed with Richard's work. He's done a great job.
This is radio, and so it's a little hard to put into words what the effect, and I'm making up images in my head as we speak, but I don't think there's any way to really predict what Friday night is going to look like.
Exactly. Like, I mean, yeah, picture blurry, you know, large screen. The multimedia room is a very cool space. We've got, you know, giant floor-to-ceiling screens onto which images are projected. And one of the pieces is, you know, starts out just kind of colors and blurry and moving swaths of light, and then those colors and light change into, it gradually morph into images, actual images, landscapes, mountains, and yeah, you're right, it really is hard to explain in words.
It's called the Illustrated Flute Project, and as I think you've just summed up, it's illustrated both in dance and in visual art. Moving images from Richard Johnson. The concert begins at 8 o'clock on Friday night in the Dalton Center Multimedia Room. Is this a ticketed event or is it free?
It's free.
This is open to everyone at 8 o'clock on Friday night. It is April 1st, but this is
no joke.
<It's> deadly
unless
serious.
Unless I mess up, then it was just all for fun.
All right, let's take a break and hear something from the recent CD, which will be available on Friday night, correct?
Yes.
It's called Fantasia Andina, the name of this piece, which also titles the CD. And I know you told me about Cesar Vivanco before.
Cesar Vivanco is a really well-known flutist, particularly in South America, and he's most certainly legendary in his native Peru. And his father was also a flutist. He runs the International Flute Festival there in Peru, which is when I met him. And he's known for his improvisations. So this is, in a way, a written-out improvisation. And he bases it on the pentatonic scale, which would be what you would hear with the Quena flute, which is the Peruvian Andean flute.
And he performs on the concert the BAME style flute.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. So this is an easy adaptation. Here it is. My guest is Martha Council Vargas. Her performance with dancers and Richard Johnson's video art and pianist Sylvia Roederer is Friday at 8 o'clock. That's my guest, flutist Martha Council Vargas, and the Fantasia Andina, which is the track that begins her most recent CD called Fantasia. I believe I heard a familiar folk song, El Condor Pasa?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Very, made famous by Paul Simon, but of course, really an Andean folk melody.
You mentioned that Cesar Vivanco is a famous improviser. So that was his way of setting the tune for solo flute?
Yes, incorporating the tune. And, you know, he plays that piece differently every time, of course. And he was kind enough to write that down for all of us who are not as adept at improvising yet.
So you grew up as a standard classical flutist, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I started in the band program when I was like 9 or 10 years old. Yep.
And studied in college.
Yep. I took private lessons starting, I think, in 7th or 8th grade, and I stuck with it all through junior high and high school. I had also been taking piano lessons, and so there did come a time around when I was 16 where my piano teacher sort of sat me down and had the talk like, I don't think you're going to be a pianist, but you might be a flutist, but here's what has to happen. And so I was so thankful to her, bless her heart, Bernadette Guter, for having that talk with me. She really helped me focus my energy on flute, and she, you know, just there was a no-nonsense requirement that if this is what I really wanted, it was going to take everything I had and more. And it continues to do that.
Did you ever have a master class with Jean-Pierre Rampal or James Gall, any of the really famous 20th century flutists?
Well, I really admired Carol Winsentz. She is just, I hope that her sound lives in me in a way. Both Carol Winsentz and Paula Robeson were kind of two of the big artists that I love listening to. I just recently met Paula Robeson for the first time back in February at the Florida Flute Association, but I was honored to play for Carol Winsentz a few times during my undergraduate study. And I played for Emmanuel Paoud, who was here last fall. I played for him, I think, 20 years ago. So I feel really lucky. I've had the best teachers, Leon Bicey and Michel DeBost. They are royalty in my life. Yeah, I'll can never thank them enough.
But you're also consciously tearing away a little bit, or at least trying to open up a new space for yourself as an artist in areas and avenues that they haven't needed to or haven't been interested in exploring. I know for you it was just a turning point to visit South America and hear different ways of expressing yourself in music and even on the flute. And that has ever since completely affected everything you've done.
It's true. It's pretty awesome how the universe just sort of presents opportunities and you can choose to accept or not. And so I feel like this is most certainly one of those, I don't know if crossroads is it feels more like a wave. I don't have a choice. I just have to ride it. But, you know, I do... Man, a great flute recital is a thing to behold, and I think, you know, there's something in me that it has something to do with feeling like, wow, how could I do those Bach sonatas any better than they've been done all these years, or how could I, who cares about my foray fantasy? You know, the repertoire that is so treasured for us. I guess I just, I wouldn't say I feel constricted by it, but I would say, like, let me contribute something really different and new, even if it means it's totally weird and nobody gets it. I'm feeling just like throw caution to the wind and kind of just go with the inspiration.
Well, clearly you have people that do believe in your vision. I mean, along for the ride on Friday night, you have videographer Richard Johnson, a composer himself. You have choreographer Whitney Moncrief. You have the WMU Dance Project dancers there supporting you. Sylvia Roederer as
piano.
Well.
And I should, very important that I mention that this project never would have happened, actually, if I didn't have the support of the Raise Upco Collaborative Enrichment Fund. Raise Upco is a composer, and he was on faculty here and actually was married to a dancer. And his award has covered, first of all, there's a myriad of expenses and responsibilities when you're in charge of a production like this that I never would have anticipated. And so Scott Ireland in the College of Fine Arts and Brad Wong have been so tremendously helpful in administrating that generous award. And the funding went to a number of, you know, different aspects of the project, including costuming. So I have a really special costume for the second half, which is, again, hard to explain. But I did feel the inspiration with the Martin Ballade, that is a sort of tragic piece, and it's even destructive and a little violent at times. And so I wanted to be able to illustrate that with my costume, that eventually is my costume, or actually the first layer of it actually rips off, and there's a lot of sort of violence and destruction in that piece.
Wow, you are going to be performing it, and also we are going to see a story played out as you play.
Yes.
And your costume will not necessarily be in the same shape it was when you began the piece.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
I really feel what I was feeling, and I feel so blessed, there's no other word for it, to have people that are open enough and kind enough and patient enough to share my vision and to listen to what I'm terrible with words. I really, you know, I get sort of transfixed by visuals in my head. I know there's a name for that, mental instability, but Pat Plasko, Patricia Plasko, is a costume designer, and she really got it. She got what I was trying to say. Basically, that the Martin Ballade in my interpretation is about, you know, starting out with fear, and it becomes darker and darker, and there's temptation and grief and a little madness, and ultimately destruction and death. I get to die on stage.
On Friday night.
Yeah.
This is a free performance that I'm sure you're hoping all kinds of people will be interested in and attracted to. Just see what maybe they even haven't even been to a solo flute recital before. And
yeah, and this is not like a solo flute recital. No.
It is a flute recital, but much, much more.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Will it be recorded on video at all?
Yes, I have a videographer coming, and I have sound coming, and hopefully some still pictures too. Yeah.
Good. Again, that's Friday night at 8:00 in the Dalton Center Multimedia Room. So when you walk into the main entrance of the Dalton Center, go veer off to the left. The entrance to the Multimedia Room is right there off of the lobby to the left, and straight ahead is the main hall. But this is a smaller, more intimate and more flexible space with all the grids and the lighting and everything that can be made to create greater impact for this. About how long is the concert?
It's 1 hour.
It's 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me cue up the Martin Ballade. This is a piece I saw your student, Maria
Vizcarra.
She last year was a winner of the WMU Concerto competition.
Yes.
And performed this. So you coached this last year.
Yes, it's a piece I've known for years. It's a standard flute repertoire. It's a great piece. It was written in the late 20s, early 30s.
Oh.
And Martin is a Swiss composer. You'll hear it's really different than what was being other pieces that were being written at the time. It was written for the Geneva Convention, Geneva Competition, and it's dark. I think Martin most certainly was concerned, as many people were, with war and death and mass production of weapons. And I think you hear all of that. I think you hear violence and fear and real tragedy in this piece.
My guest is flutist Martha Council Vargas, and we just heard a recording of the Martin Ballade by a flutist named Irena Grafenauer from the WMUK Library. As you said, Martha, this piece was written as a competition piece?
Yeah, for the Geneva competition. Yep, 1931, I think.
So maybe more than one composer would present flute pieces for a competition, and typically they're just meant to be have a slow section for lyricism and then like a really hard section.
Exactly. And we have a whole treasure trove of those pieces, and they're delightful, sparkly, cute little things.
Not this one.
This one stands out, and it's always haunted me, honestly. I've always loved it and been afraid of it at the same time. So It was my first choice for something to choreograph. Looking back on that decision, I may have bitten off quite a bit to chew at once, because the technical facility and the concentration required to perform this piece is enough without choreography. And so adding choreography to that has been really challenging, but challenging in the best way.
Now, when you hear the piece, do you not only think of the notes and the line, but also what position you should be in and what movement?
And the one of the wonderful things that I've learned on this amazing journey is that actually the choreography can help you with the memorization of the notes. You can associate what movement or where on stage you'll be with the section or phrase that you're playing.
Our brains are such interesting, spongy little things.
Crazy.
That put together movement, experience, sound,
yes,
visuals. It's kind of, we are not in categories. We sort of cross all of that in our own minds.
Yes, and I think that is an overarching theme with this whole project, that we really, as artists, can create something, you know, larger than ourselves when we collaborate and when we're just open to the inspiration and we don't fear it.
The concert is 8 o'clock on Friday night, and it is free to the public. It's at the Dalton Center Multimedia Room, which is just to the left as you walk into the main entrance. If you've never seen a performance in that space, it was designed for projects just like this, and maybe doesn't get used quite often enough.
It's an amazing space. It's my first performance in that space. It's going to be an evening of firsts for me. I'm really excited.
And this was made possible in part by a gift from a foundation named for Raymond Zupko.
Yes, the Ray Zupko Collaborative Enrichment Award, Enrichment Fund. Yeah. So I applied and was thankfully was fortunate enough to receive the award this year to work with Whitney, the choreographer, with Richard Johnson, with Patricia Plasko in the costumes, and Western Dance Project, the dance company that comes out of the Western Michigan University dance department.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about next. While you are moving your steps and forming your lines and playing the piece, how do they come in? And how many dancers are there?
So I think it's like 12 to 15 dancers. I envisioned this actually with Martin. Another alternate title was the Demon Flute Project, because I did feel like the darkness and the heavy fear and tragedy themes in Martin had to do with almost like evil spirits or like little demons that could, you know, creep up on us at any time and ultimately destroy us if we let them. And so they are demons in Martin, and they actually do creep up on me gradually over the course of the piece, and they do destroy me. I die at the end. I have the bruises on my knees to prove it.
This is the heart of the show. This is the
yes.
most powerful.
Yes, I think so, yeah. But I couldn't end there. So there was a piece that I had been really anxious to play for years that my dear, dear friend and fellow flutist Rhonda Larson wrote back in 1993, I think, or the early 2000s maybe. It's based on a hymn, Be Still My Soul, which is in the Lutheran hymnal. The words were written by a woman and then translated into English by another woman and set to the tune Finlandia by Sibelius. And so she took this hymn, and the words are, Be still, my soul, thy God is on thy side. Bear patiently your cross of grief and pain. And it's a really, I think it takes us from a place of tragedy and hopelessness into a place of hope and ultimately redemption.
We have Rhonda's recording right here, so let's listen to this piece. Rhonda Larson. You know, Martha, I'm really glad we had a chance to hear that piece in the context of the story of the Illustrated Flute Project, because as you heard before, we listened to this Martin ballade that you have given the significance of life and death. You know, it really takes you through maybe the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Then this piece brings us back.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, I knew I couldn't end dead. and I had been really hoping to perform Rhonda's piece for a long time. So it is probably the most challenging piece on my program, not because of the music, but because of the choreography. I have some very strong dancers that actually will be lifting me up while I play, which takes quite a bit of bravery and concentration, but I think it's really effective. It's been absolutely, I remember the first time they picked me up and it seemed really easy for them and they were happy to do it. And I thought, okay, like I can work with these people. They can lift me up and really, I guess metaphorically, it really meant something to me that they were able to just commit to my vision for what the music meant. And, you know, hopefully a message of transformation.
There's still risk. I think no matter how many times you practiced it, a lift while you're playing with a valuable instrument in your hands. I'm just saying you are are not taking the easy road here.
No, but by any chance. I mean, man, the easy road's so boring, you know? Like, I was just talking about this with my student, EJ. We really both, I think, are at an interesting point in our artistry where we're just ready for the next step and we're ready to just push the envelope a little bit. And if it means, you know, that people sort of clap politely and then go home and think, wow, that was weird, but whatever, that's fine. But, you know, we're kind of hoping that it means something else. Like, let's, you know, come on, guys, let's explore deeper meanings to this music, and let's explore really, really challenging ourselves to commit to the music and commit to our audiences in different and beautiful ways.
And the barriers between dance and visual arts and music have always been so artificial.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that you cannot, as a musician, think visually, think in terms of movement. And maybe now's as good a time as any to keep pushing those artificial barriers aside.
Yes, Kara. And interestingly, I was just having a conversation with a friend last night and I said, you know, I don't think I can go back. You know, I'm a different player now. Now that I'm thinking of my playing in terms of movement and in terms of visual imagery, I don't know. I don't know if I can go back to the traditional flute recital again, which is terrifying and really exciting at the same time.
Well, this is our last minute of the hour. We do have a little more to hear from Fantasia, the new recording, from Jennifer Higdon, another flute player who is also a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer. Her song for solo flute is one of my favorites from this album, Fantasia. The album and your other album, will that be available as well?
Yes,
on Friday?
Ma'am. Yep, I'll have both of them there.
And the concert's free. It's called the Illustrated Flute Project. And you've already gone down the list of people you want to credit, but maybe one more time to...
Yeah, just to really thank Patricia Plasko for the beautiful costume, Whitney Moncrief, my amazing friend and choreographer, the Western Dance Project, Richard Johnson for his amazing video. Lisa Coons also helped me with some inspiration for this. Rayanne Berkey is doing our lights. Scott Ireland and Brad Wong, both awesome administrators of this project, which was much more complicated than originally anticipated. And of course, the Raymond Zupko Collaborative Enrichment Fund. Just what an honor. And what an honor to live in a place that supports the arts so beautifully and work for a university that really values creativity and exploration. There's images on my Facebook page, Martha Council Vargas Flute. And so hopefully that will maybe explain some of the stuff that's hard to articulate in words.
I think a lot of people don't need to know more at this point. Just want to see what in the world this is all about.
Yeah, me too.
The Illustrated Flute Project, Friday night at 8:00 in the Dalton Center Multimedia Room. Martha, as always, it has been an illuminating hour here on WMUK. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much, Kara. It's always great to see you.